Hello and welcome to this Olympic special of Women's Soccer Zone. Delighted that you could join us. Once again, I'm joined by my good friend out in the United States, JJ Duke. And we're also joined by our Swedish correspondent out in Stockholm, Linda.
Uppsala.
Where?
Uppsala.
Uppsala. I don't know where that is, but we are joined by Linda Eriksson in Uppsala. Guys, how are you doing? You okay?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, not doing too bad.
Good stuff. So the purpose of this show is to look ahead to the quarterfinal matches, and we'll have a little chat about how the teams got to that stage. Of course, the first round of matches finished in the last couple of days, and we're looking ahead to Friday's matches in the quarterfinals. So we're going to do it in reverse order because we've got JJ and Linda. Obviously, the United States do play Sweden and they will kick off the quarterfinals. But seeing as we've got the guys on, we'll leave that match till last. So we'll do it in reverse order. So, guys, Brazil against Australia is the last quarterfinal. But we're going to start with that one because Brazil are obviously the hosts. They come up against Australia, who finished third in their group behind Canada and Germany. JJ, let's start with you. The hosts, Brazil, they have a lot of weight on their shoulders. There's a lot of expectation. They've pretty much sailed through that group, haven't they? They had the 0-0 against South Africa, but they rested Christian, they rested Marta, they rested Formiga. I know Marta came on in the second half, but they were impressive in that first group stage, weren't they?
Yeah, you know, we highlighted this in the preview show that this is the team that they're either going to feed off of their energy of the home crowd or they're going to wilt under the pressure. And so far, they're doing exactly the opposite of their men's side, not to take any shots there, but they've been brilliant, I think, through their first three matches. Yeah, I'll be honest, I was a little disappointed how they went about their business against South Africa. Fair play to the visitors. They came in with a game plan. They held together and got a result, though. I'm trying to remind myself the last time we had a team get a point in Olympic competition without scoring a goal. That kind of remains to be seen. But look, Brazil's playing with that free-flowing energy that we saw back in 2007, 2008 in the World Cup and Olympics that year. Now, it really comes down to the question, does lightning strike twice again? Or does Brazil move on as expected in their march towards that gold medal?
Yeah, absolutely. Linda, I should probably get your view on Brazil, although you may want not to talk about this because if people have forgotten, Sweden got a bit of a pasting by Brazil. It was 5-1 in the group match, and it was only a Lotta Schelling goal towards the end that gave Sweden, well, can you call it a consolation? Probably not, but you firsthand saw how good this Brazil side is. What did you make of them in the opening group?
No, I have to be honest. That game was on at 3 a.m. And I woke up to see the score in the morning. And I was just like, I'm not even going to bother to watch this game. I deleted the recording I'd made of it and did not watch it.
Seriously?
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Okay, so the humiliation was too much for you to face, and
yes, we have never lost. We have, I think, never let in 5 goals.
Well, what was the reaction back in Sweden? Because we're not necessarily expecting huge things from the Swedes. We know that they struggled at the World Cup last year. They had to go through the mini qualifying tournament, which JJ and I have spoken about on numerous occasions on the show. But what was the reaction back at home?
There wasn't a massively negative reaction or anything like that. There was just some headlines about how this was definitely a disappointment. That I think Lotta Schelling said after the game, she doesn't remember when we've let in 5 goals, and the journalist's response was that, well, it's never happened. That's why she couldn't remember it.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about them in a bit because obviously we've got their quarterfinal against the USA to talk about shortly, but I mean, looking at it, JJ, Marta, lot of weight on her shoulders. She's stepped up to the plate big time in the group stage, hasn't she? She has been the real kind of driving force in that side, as you would expect.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she's almost playing kind of two sides of a role here, Kieran. She's obviously the superstar within the team, but at the same time, this is a team that's facing sort of a transition. You have a lot of elder statesman, obviously Christiane, who set now the new Olympic standard for goals scored in a career in this competition, either men or women. And you also have Formiga, who just continues to play better as she goes on. But then you have the players like Andres, or as it goes down in the books, Andresinha, who a lot of people are expecting that she's going to become the star of this team. And yeah, I think she's done well. Marta is almost that facilitator role exclusively, as opposed to doing a little bit of everything for this team. But I think she's been brilliant thus far. You know, that game against Sweden, obviously, it was kind of that showcase for her, where she was able to use her width, use her pace, set up a couple of opportunities, and obviously had two for herself. So, yeah, you know, again, this is going to be a match for Brazil. You know, it's all on the table for them. It's interesting, though, they talked about this on the American broadcast, Kieran, more so about for the U.S. team. Obviously, with the travel coming into it, playing in the Amazon to now traveling to where they're going to play their quarterfinal in Belo Horizonte. Of the Men's World Cup in 2014, seven teams played another match after they played in the Amazon. Six of those teams lost that next match, purely because of the humidity and the travel and the fatigue. So you wonder if something like that's going to be a factor here on Friday.
That's an interesting stat. I'm glad you brought that one up, mate. I mean, I think we've spoken a lot about Brazil. There is, of course, another team that is involved in the matchup, and that is Australia, finished third in their group behind Canada and Germany. Linda, I don't know how much you got to see of Australia, but what you did see, how impressed were you with what they produced in the group stages? Opening game defeat to Canada, a 2-0 loss. I thought they were hugely disappointing. One of the worst games that I've seen the Australians play probably in a long, long time. They were narrowly only minutes away from a win against Germany until Germany came back and drew the game 2-2. And then they got a convincing win against Zimbabwe in the final group match. What you saw of them, what did you make of them?
I have to agree with you. They were hugely disappointing in the opening game. The Germany game, I unfortunately did not get to see. I've only heard about it, and they seem to have been a bit unfortunate not to win that game. But then obviously, I mean, it's good to finish with a large victory like the one against Zimbabwe. But, I mean, Zimbabwe scored 0 points, minus 12 goal difference. It doesn't really say much about Australia or their ability to beat Brazil in the quarterfinal.
Is that a problem that we've got, JJ, that we're struggling to maybe assess the chances of Australia? We've seen at the World Cup last year, them at their brilliant best. Perhaps we haven't seen them at that stage yet in this Olympic Games. I thought, as I said, Canada, I thought they were disappointing. Germany, I tweeted afterwards, I thought they needed to be much more clinical. There were times where Caitlin Ford got in behind the Germans on numerous occasions and wasn't able to finish the chances that she created. And ultimately, they were punished for that because they were 2-0 up. The game ended up 2-2. And as Linda rightfully says, it's very difficult to judge how good a team is when they're coming up against a Zimbabwean side who've got 0 points and minus 12 goal difference.
No, you're right. And I think, you know, at this stage of this tournament, you want to obviously get better as you go on. It was a poor start for them. It's not harsh. It's not critical. It's just fair. But they did improve. I think similarly, they were a bit unlucky to not get a result against Germany. I've got other thoughts about that team that we'll save it until we talk about their side. But yeah, while the scoreline doesn't look favorable, obviously the 6-1 result, that was a team that was on a mission that day. Plain and simple, their job was to run up the score, try and claim the goal difference with Germany. And actually, for the final 20 minutes of that match, it was all hysterics. Everything was thrown out the window because at that time, Canada had the 2-1 lead. Australia had the goal difference. All they had to do was score one more goal and they would have taken second. Here's what I look at it. I would rather see a team entering this stage of the tournament scoring than not scoring. And I think Australia, they're a little shaky at the back at times, but their big factor is set pieces. And now you come up against Brazil, who, of course, is the master of the set piece, but they are known to give up a set piece or two. So it really comes down to whoever's going to be more effective in that category. And obviously, as we all know, Australia, They did it before last year in the World Cup where they knocked off Brazil. Does it happen again? I don't know. It's not in their favor this time because of the fact that they're playing in Brazil. But then again, if you ride a wave of emotion in a short tournament like this, you might as well give them a chance.
Linda, looking ahead to the game between Brazil and Australia, what's your thoughts on it? Where do you think the game could be won and lost?
I mean, I know that we're not supposed to really reveal anything, but I'm pretty sure I put Marta as my player of the tournament. I think if it's necessary, she's going to help Brazil to the win.
So Marta, the decisive factor for Linda. JJ, what's your views on where this game's going to be won and lost?
It's going to be won and lost in the middle of the field. That's where Brazil has been so good through these three matches. Holding down that midfield third, being able to then do one of two things, play through that middle to their forwards or get it out wide to Marta and let Marta do what she does best, which is create. So if Australia can contain that middle of the field and then exploit the width, I think we haven't seen the best of Caitlin Ford yet. I think Sam Kerr is also getting closer and closer to full match fitness. If they can do that, then they have a chance worth anything. But if Brazil can win that midfield battle, then they should be winning this one at least by a goal, maybe more.
Yeah, I'd agree in that the middle of the park is going to be key. I think I mentioned it already. I think the Australians need to be more clinical in front of goal. You're absolutely right. They were very, very good from set pieces. I think they possibly scored four of the six from set pieces against Zimbabwe, although I will say Zimbabwe's defending did leave a lot to be desired in those goals. But I think they are powerful up top when you look at players like Michelle Heyman and Kaya Simon, and then you've got the defenders like Claire Polkinghorne and Alana Kennedy. There's plenty of aerial threat there. Brazil, we know where the threats come from. They come from Marta, they come from Christiane, and if you can't keep those two quiet, then they are going to punish you. And I think it's going to be a really close one. I think it's a shame that the two have met so early, but this is the quality of the Olympics, isn't it? These big games really early on. We saw heavyweight clashes in the group matches take place as well. I'm going to ask you guys to stick your neck out. Who's going through? Linda?
Brazil.
JJ?
I'm not saying lightning's going to strike twice, so here's me not saying that it's not going to happen. I had the Aussies before. I'm sticking with it.
Sticking with the Australians. Fair play. So
yes,
we're divided. I'm with Linda, I'm afraid. I've got Brazil to narrowly win this one, but I would in no way be disappointed if the Australians got through. I'm a big fan of the Matildas, and they continue to get better and better. You mentioned the fact that they beat Brazil in the World Cup last year. Of course, Brazil did win a warm-up friendly against Australia just before the tournament started, so all to play for. We'll move on to the next quarterfinal, and I want to talk about Canada against France. Now, again, these two teams met just before the Olympic Games in France, and it was a Camille Abeli free kick that earned France a 1-0 win. JJ, I think it's probably fair to say that Canada have been the team of the first round. I think many had Germany winning that group, me included. I'm not in any way shirking away from the fact that I had Germany to win that group. But Canada were brilliant, weren't they? They got a really good win against Australia from the off, and then two more wins over Germany and Zimbabwe. They were impressive, and they're looking good for a medal at the moment, aren't they?
They are looking good at the medal, but as we said before, it's the group of death in Group F, not only for the fact that if you win the group, then there's a good chance of you're playing France, but if you lose the group, then you have a good chance of playing another really good team. But we'll get to that in a second. Now, I think Canada have been phenomenal. This has been a team that we've kept an eye on for a long time now. John Herdman has put his stamp on this team. He is not afraid to put the youngsters in the field during key situations. Obviously, you and I talked about it back in February, where he played a B-plus team against the United States in the U.S. in the final of the CONCACAF qualifying tournament, and they held their own. Sure, did they lose that match? Yes, but you're seeing them peak at the right time. But the one thing that I'm afraid of, while they are scoring a lot, and their defense has been good. The defense has a little bit been reckless at times as well, with Zdorsky getting sent off in the first match and Buchanan getting multiple cards, and she was suspended for a match. That's something that you're going to have to watch out for, especially when you're playing against a team like France, who is so pacey and they're so well connected that they can just lull you in and then beat you, and it's not going to be pretty.
Yeah, what have you, Linda, I'm not going to ask you about Canada because I know that you have a particular fondness and follow the French team a lot, so I'm going to ask you to focus on them. Jada, what have you made of players like Janine Becky? We've seen her develop at the Houston Dash. We've seen her under the coaching of Randy Waldrum coming in as a rookie. In those first two games, obviously she didn't play in the third one, but the first two games, she showed a lot of potential and why people have been raving about her, and she could potentially be one of the stars of this tournament.
Well, look, I talked with Janine back in June when they announced the team for Our Game magazine, a piece that I put on the website. And, you know, this is a kid that is just one of those players that is up for the big matches. She's willing to do whatever it takes for her country, which, of course, is that little great irony. She's born and raised in the United States, but obviously has the ties to Canada. But she's bought into the system. She's got all the tools necessary to be one of the best strikers in the world in a few years. It's now just having that professional part of her game come forward. And I'm not saying that there's anything that she needs to completely improve on. There's just little pieces here and there that she'll want to, you know, fine tune over the next few years. And then I think that she could be one of the best forwards in the world. But as of right now, she's a goal scorer's goal scorer. She knows to get herself in good positions. She can finish with the best of them. We saw that in the first match against Australia. She could have had, at least two. She had the penalty saved. But then she buried a couple more against Zimbabwe. She's tied for joint top for goal scoring in this tournament. So, you know, I think her combination with Christine Sinclair and now Melissa Tancredi all of a sudden is pulling goals from 4 years ago or 5 years ago that we were seeing her score. And, you know, here we are. It's a three-headed monster for Canada that might match, at least on paper, to what France has. It might not be the fastest three, but it's a good goal-scoring three.
Yeah, and I guess my final question on Canada, how impressed do we have to be with what John Herdman's done in terms of the depth of that squad? They rested Christine Sinclair against Germany. They didn't start Diana Matheson. And yet, not only did they win the game, but they come from 1-0 down. And very rarely, I can imagine, Germany have gone 1-0 up and ended up losing a match.
Well, again, I have thoughts for the German team. I'm going to save that for when we talk about them. But look, you know, again, Canada, they're an 18-player deep team in this tournament. Probably their alternates, if they were eligible to play, they would make a contribution as well. You don't often see all 18 have a factor in the group stage. Usually it's just the one goalkeeper. There might be a field player that hasn't seen the field, or if that, it's maybe for a minute or two. But every one of those Canadian players is willing, ready, and able to get the job done when their name gets called upon. And I think that it does have a big, you know, task at hand, and that's what John Herdman did. He developed the team. He took it over when they were in shambles. They were dead last in the 2011 World Cup. When we thought that they were going to do something fairly special. And that turned them around to winning a medal in London, and they've only just continued to get better.
Yeah, absolutely. They've certainly improved on what we saw in the World Cup last year, and have certainly, as I say, for me, the team of the first round. Linda, we'll move over to you, and we'll talk about France, a team that I know, as well as your home nation, Sweden, follow very, very closely. How would you assess what they were able to achieve in their group? Of course, had the United States, Colombia and New Zealand, not an easy group, finished runners-up behind the USA, winning two of the matches and, of course, losing narrowly to the US. What did you make of them in their opening three games?
Really good start. 4-0 win against Colombia. France lost to Colombia last year in the World Cup, so I think they were out for some revenge, and they certainly succeeded. The game against the U.S. was a bit, it was quite even, and the U.S. had some sloppy defending towards the end of that game, but France just didn't manage to get a goal into the net. I kind of thought it should have been a draw, but JJ might disagree.
Oh, I'm fully with you. I am 100% alongside.
All right. Yeah, and then a good game last night against New Zealand, 3-0 win. Obviously, the last goal was a penalty, but still, it was a solid win, and New Zealand didn't really threaten the French.
No, I'd agree with that. I managed to watch the France-New Zealand game, and certainly they didn't really face many problems from the New Zealand side. I guess the one question I'd have, and it might be one that's difficult to answer, we've seen how good the French are. We saw how good they were against Colombia and New Zealand, and teams that are inferior to the French on their day, France can quite easily humiliate them. And they certainly didn't against Colombia and New Zealand, but they were very much comfortable. When it comes to the likes of the USA, now I put a tweet out, France are one of the teams that don't allow the US to bully them. We have seen the US completely overrun and completely overpower so many teams over the last however many years. France are one of those teams that don't allow them to do that. They had a lot of ball against the United States, but other than a couple of saves against Hope Solo, they weren't able to do much with it. Now, I put a tweet out, the two players that won the United States that game was Hope Solo at one end and Carly Lloyd at the other. Two huge game changers in that United States team. Do France lack that game-changing player who can win a game and grab the game by the scruff of the neck when the going gets tough?
Maybe, because they have so many players that are technically able to do that, that there just isn't this one star player. But I would have to say, if there is one, I would say it's Le Sommer. And she was injured in the game against the United States, so I don't believe she played at all in that game.
I think they started with Delee, didn't they? Delee had the chance in the first half that Hope Solo came out and brilliantly saved. I think that, yeah, I think Le Sommer, or I guess many would probably say Louisa Nesib or Louisa Kadamura, as she is now. Mm-hmm. I just think they lack that real, that player who, when the going is tough and they need someone to step up. And actually, JJ, I'll bring you in on this one. What's your view on, agree with me, agree with Linda, somewhere in the middle, not so sure?
Well, you know, they brought this up during, again, the American telecast. One of the reasons when Amandine Henry came over to the United States and to the NWSL, and she told this to the NBC broadcast team, saying that she knows what the Americans do that makes them tick, and that is having that winning mentality, having that player on a day that can come up, as you say, you know, grab the game by the scruff of its neck and create chances on their own sometimes when it doesn't seem like it's going to happen. She admits that that's one of the issues that that France has. They don't have, well, they have a winning mentality, but they don't have that winner mentality in the sense that, you know, they can go out and, as you said, they can cruise against teams that are inferior to them. But when they have to come up against the likes of a Germany, against the likes of a U.S., that they can do what they do well, but they just can't climb that final hurdle. I don't think right now they have that just yet. If you ask for my prediction, I think France does move on from this match, but I don't see them getting any further again because they're still lacking that final step.
Okay, so you're going with France despite the possibility of there not being that kind of game-changing individual. Linda, who are you going for? Are you going France or are you going Canada?
I think it's going to be a really tough game, probably a pretty even game, but I do think France are going to win it.
Okay, I'm with you guys. I think this is going to be, I think looking at it, I think it's the hardest of the four to call. I think they've both got strengths. I think the Canadians are on a crest of a wave after that first round performance in the three matches. They've got a young and hungry side. They've got some rested players as well. Obviously, Christine Sinclair didn't play in the last game, so she'll be fresh. Oh, so difficult. So difficult. I think before the tournament, I would have said France. But there's part of me that thinks Canada. There is part of me that thinks Canada, and I never thought I'd say that. So I'm going to go Canada on this one. I'm going to go Canada and base it on how well they played in the first round. So you two are going France. I'm going to go Canada, so one of us is going to end up with egg on their face, so we shall see after this round of games. Third one I want to focus on is Germany against China. Now, I must confess, I didn't get a chance to see a lot of China because their games were on quite late. For UK viewers, and I'm sure for Linda, their games were quite late. I did get to see quite a lot of Germany. Linda, I'll start with you. I mean, we'll talk about Germany first. We have spoken about them briefly because obviously we've spoken about Australia and we've spoken about Canada, who were both in their group. But what did you make of Germany, their strengths, their weaknesses, and their performance overall in the group?
Yeah, I didn't get to see a lot of Germany. They haven't really shown, I think, any of their games in Sweden. But, I mean, obviously a very impressive start for Germany. And then a not-so-impressive couple games after that. Obviously, they managed to come back against Australia right at the end of the game. But that loss against Canada raises some questions. And I didn't see that game, so I'm a bit... I'm wondering what's going on.
Yeah, difficult one. I know that for JJ in the US and for me over here in the UK, I know that the BBC over here in the UK have been phenomenal with their coverage. Yes, it's not been perfect. We haven't had commentary for some games, but every game has been available over here in the UK. And let's not forget, Team GB aren't even there. So they are under no obligation to show the games, but we have been able to see them. I'll give my views on Germany shortly. But JJ, what have you made of them from what you've seen?
Look, end of the day, the injury to Simone Lauder has killed this team. There is no glue in the midfield right now, for those wondering. She gets hurt, 20 minutes into the first match against Zimbabwe?
Horrific tackle. And some of the tackles that were put in by the Zimbabwean players in that first game were... I mean, I'm going to say they were pretty disgraceful. I know they weren't so bad. I think they probably learned in the next two games because I don't recall any terrible ones in the next two games. But for anyone who saw Germany against Zimbabwe, it was unacceptable. And regardless of what level you play at, you cannot tackle like the Zimbabweans were. But sorry, mate, you carry on.
No, you're absolutely right. It was a horrific challenge. And I'm surprised that the referee in that match didn't pull out the cards and the straight red sooner, because that challenge on Lauder, that's two-footed, studs up, leaves the ground. That's a red in any country, anywhere. With that being said, look, again, Germany, they were good in their first match, but we expected them to be that way. Slow on the uptake against Australia. I think Australia, they learned quickly that just by creating chances doesn't mean that you're going to score those chances. After their Canada game, they came out guns blazing in the second match. I think they caught the Germans by surprise. They were able to come back and find the first and the second to level the match. But that Canada game, there's a lot of things, Kieran, that go through my head in that one. One thing that I don't think a lot of people want to talk about, but it would be fair to talk about it, is that you look how this tournament broke down. If you won your group, especially in Group F, guess what? You're playing France. That is not a reasonable quarterfinal game, but because, as you said, how loaded this tournament is, you're going to have to play a good team in the quarterfinals. Well, unfortunately for Germany and the rest of Group F, a win is almost kind of like a loss. So I'm not sure if Germany looked at it that way, but they didn't put their best performance together. They left a lot of good players on the bench for that final match, and they got exposed big time. And I think, for this Germany team, they're not where they were years ago when they were just walking into tournaments and you knew that the Germans were going to win. Now it's not so much. They're in that transition of seeing out the old guard, bringing in the new guard. Obviously, Sylvia Nide's last tournament, so she will want to go out on top. But, don't overlook China. I haven't seen a lot of them personally myself, so I can't comment too much about it. But if they take their foot off the gas, then they are going to be going home without anything. Because just how their performances have been, they're a much better team than this.
No, you're right. And it's an interesting point that you make about Germany and almost wanting to avoid playing against France. I think it was, and Linda can back me up on this shortly, but I think... Caroline Sager said after the game against who did they play the last game? The last game was against China. So they had their last game against China, and apparently Caroline Sager is quoted as asking Pia Sundhage whether she wanted the team to go for a goal and try and go for the win, and Sundhage said no, 0-0 is fine, because what it meant is that Sweden play the USA and they don't play against Brazil, and that was something that she wanted. She didn't want to go and play against Brazil. She clearly fancies her chances more against the United States. I think one way or the other. I'm not sure if that's the case, but
yeah. If I can interrupt, I don't really think that's the thing. By playing the USA, Sweden does not have to travel today, and the team said they were very happy to stay in Brasilia. Caroline Sager said she would not have had the energy to travel tomorrow, and that's why she was thinking that we should hold back a little, and she ran to check with Pia if it was fine to play 0-0. So, yeah, playing the USA, fine, but I don't think that was it. They just wanted to stay in the same place.
Right, okay. When I was reading articles, it said that history was more on Pia's side when it came to playing the United States, but maybe I've got the wrong end of the stick. But
well, Karen, if they actually would have won that match, they would have been playing Germany in the quarters.
Oh, sorry, it was Germany. Right. It was Germany. It wasn't Brazil, wasn't it? It was Germany. Yep. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. My apologies. I don't always get it right. Quite often I get it wrong. But yeah, we'll go back. We'll talk about Sweden in a minute. But yes, going back to Germany, China, I'm with you. I think Germany have got problems. I think they have issues at the back. As I said, Australia, I'm not kidding. If Caitlin Ford had her shooting boots on, they could have been 4 or 5 up. And that sounds really awful when you're playing against Germany, and it almost seems unthinkable. But the Australians had some seriously good chances against Germany. They exposed that back four big time. And I think if it wasn't for Melanie Behringer, who I think has been Germany's best player in midfield, I think she has been the player that's really got the side going. The forward line hasn't looked overly impressive. I don't think Alex Popp and Anja Mittag haven't been at their best for me. And I think it's going to be interesting when they play China, because I think China have been okay. You know, they had the opening defeat against Brazil, and Brazil were playing in front of a big crowd, and they want to get off to a good start. But they did well against Sweden, and they obviously got the win against South Africa as well. So I think they will, as you say, they're not a team to be underestimated. Lots of energy, lots of good players in that side. I don't think Germany are going to see that as a walkover, are they?
No, not at all. I mean, yeah, end of the day, it's a little bit of a different team from last year, Kieran. Just you look at the coaching, you know, Bruno Beini now there at the helm, and he's a different philosophy. He's more of a, not so much more of a defending type team, but last year China in the World Cup, they were going forward. They're trying to create, they're making things happen. To be honest, a lot of their matches have been kind of slogs through after the Brazil match. I wasn't really too impressed with their performance against South Africa. And then we've already discussed their match against Sweden. It seemed that both teams are pretty fine to play out just to get a result, so both sides move on. But yeah, you know, they stay organized, they stay disciplined, and they can win some possession in the midfield, and they'll be fine.
So who are you going for, China or Germany?
Oh, for me? I still have Germany. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be fun for those who support Germany. It might go into extra time, which, by the way, as we all now know, you're allowed a fourth substitute in extra time for the knockout round. So it'll be interesting to see how coaches use that if they do go into 90+. But I think Germany moves on probably via extra time.
Linda, where are you going?
I'm going to go with Germany too, but I do think this is the most difficult quarterfinal to call. Germany have not impressed. China haven't really either, but Germany will win it in the end.
Okay. It's a clean sweep on that one. I've got Germany as well, but I don't think it will be easy. I think they, as we've said, I don't think they've hit top form, but the sign of a good team is a side that's not playing well and can still win games. And Germany have done it to an extent. But I think this will be a test for them. I don't think China will be a walkover, and it'll be interesting to see how they do. But it would be a massive disappointment for Sylvia Knight in her last major tournament if they went out at the quarterfinal stage. So the last one, the one that will interest you guys most, and probably the one that will have the most discussion, USA against Sweden. Pia Sundhage coming up against her former side once again after they met each other in the World Cup last year. She, of course, was the coach when the United States won the last two gold medals in 2012 and 2008. Linda, Sweden, we spoke about the humiliation against Brazil, and I do have to say humiliation because, as you rightfully said, they've not conceded five goals in a game before. They got the 0-0 against China, which was enough to take them through, and they got the rather fortuitous goal against South Africa from Nilla Fischer that got them the 1-0 win. If there was an example of a team that's crawled into the quarterfinals, it's probably Sweden, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose it is. That first game was not impressive in any way. They got the win, which was the most important thing, but it was not a good performance at all. Yesterday's performance was not good either, but I do understand that they, to some sense, just, there was no need to win. They were kind of happy already kicking off the game. Like Pia said towards the end of the game, 0-0 is fine, and this means they don't have to travel, which seems to be really important to the team. They're saying, Caroline Sagers told media she cried like a baby when the referee blew the whistle because she was so tired and there's been so much tension to move on to the quarterfinals.
Is there, we're talking about Caroline Seger, we talk about Lotte Schelin scoring in the opening, well, in the 5-1 defeat to Brazil, we talk about Nilla Fischer scoring in the game against South Africa. I wrote a piece for Equalizer Soccer just reviewing the opening couple of rounds of games, and I talked about that spine that Sweden has: Hedvig Lindau, Nilla Fischer, Lotte Schelin, Caroline Seger. Do, in your mind, do the team rely on them a little bit too much? They're not getting any younger. They are the players in that team who are the wrong side of 30, and I myself am the wrong side of 30, so I'm in no way criticising or making any judgments. But are they relying too much on that spine? Are they relying too much on those old heads? And are there players around them that need to maybe take a bit more responsibility?
Yes, a little bit. Those players have played in every game. They've been forced to because of that major loss against Brazil. But I do think Pia has taken some chances by putting on these younger players like Fridolina Rolfö, who I was not quite expecting to play in every game. Olivia Skog has played in every game as well, I think. So there are some younger players in the team who are, they're playing quite well. They're not scoring, but they're by no means doing worse than the rest of the team.
Now, I was going to ask, we spoke about that when we did the Olympic preview, about those young players coming in, and I think Fridolina Rolfö was one of the players that I picked out as one of the young players that people should look out for. What's been the view of those younger players that have come in? And, you know, you've got players that have been in the wilderness a little bit, like Kosovari Aslani. She hadn't played much since the World Cup last year. She's come back into the Olympic fold. Has there been, you know, has there been a lot of opinion? Has there been a lot of views on some of the other players of how they're performing in terms of how the group stage has gone?
Not really that I've seen. But I do, in my opinion, these younger players like Rolfö have fitted in really well with the team. Obviously, the team in general hasn't been playing well, but there hasn't been one player that has noticeably been playing worse than everyone else. It's just been a team performance that hasn't been as good as it should be.
Okay. JJ USA, expectation, pressure, the team that everyone expects to win, the team that the majority of people, pundits, journalists, fans, I've seen in terms of predictions have got the USA winning gold. What do you make of the opening three games? Of course, had France, New Zealand, Colombia in their group. 7 points from those three games. We'll talk about the Colombia game, which was the most recent, shortly, but opened up with the win over New Zealand, narrow win over France, and of course the draw with Colombia. What do you make of the performances in the opening stages?
Well, before we begin, I think it should be fair to say that we on the show like to analyze and break things down, never try to be harsh nor criticize, but get right to the point. And here he goes. An American, I can say that this has been pretty underwhelming from the U.S. I think their best match was their first one. And I don't think it was that great to begin with, because I think, you know, they can handle a team like New Zealand in the sense of possession. They can create chances. And there are a lot of weak spots in that team right now, mostly on the flanks, I'll be quite honest. I don't think Megan Klingenberg has been good. She got torched in the match against France on numerous occasions. Forward line has been okay. Obviously, Carly Lloyd leads by example, trying to grind in. But as we said before, if Hope Solo wasn't making the saves that we expect her to do, because we know she's world class, France wins that match. And the Colombia match, I think that they just overlook that team, because, you know, in the sense of when you beat a team twice in pretty one-sided affairs earlier on this year, have so much success against them, and playing against a team that already said, well, we're not playing for anything. We know at this point that we're already eliminated and we're going to rest players. But Colombia, you know, fair play to them. There's no international games that are easy. And I don't think, in a sense, that the U.S. were mentally going to think that they were overlooking them, but might have taken the pedal off the gas a little bit at the end. And two crucial fouls set up free kicks that Catalina Uzme, who we saw in the match against New Zealand, put together a few deadly set pieces, finally connected. And I think she made the U.S. realize that, you know, they can't take a second off, because if they do, they're going to be hurt. And that's not going to, you know, stop here in the knockout round.
Very rarely do we see Hope Solo have a game like she did against Colombia. Now, we can say that they maybe took their eye off Colombia, but that was very uncharacteristic of Hope in what we saw from those two goals conceded. But did the Americans, perhaps, not just her, but across the board, not really put in the performance that we expect? And actually, one of the plays that I think has been slightly overlooked was up the other end when Kristen Press was running through on goal, and I can't remember who it was that she was alongside.
She played Mal Pugh.
Now, Pugh was clearly offside.
Yeah.
And she's on. Press and Pugh are both 2-on-1 with the goalkeeper. That's an error by Kristen Press to play that pass, because Pugh is clearly offside. And if she goes in and takes the shot, the likelihood is that she scores.
Yep, no, you're 100% right. That's a chance that goes away. Now, granted, yes, you see that moment. You always think to yourself, okay, I see someone that's in the middle, slot it across, let that person has a much easier angle finish, as Sepulveda was coming out to try to cut down the angle. I think the play was right. I think they just didn't realize the space where they were, and Pugh was already well past the goalkeeper, which obviously that brings in the offsides play. So, yeah, mental errors. You don't see mental errors happen a whole lot. You can live with physical errors. Look, I'm a goalie in a former lifetime. It happens. So I'm not going to knock on Hope Solo. That ball was whipped in with pace around the wall, didn't see it late. You know, goes through the wickets. It happens. Second one, that ball was hitting with pace into a perfect position, and she even got something onto it, and it happens to go into the net. I'm still saying it happens. A goalie is going to allow, they're going to concede on a basis, or a somewhat basis, and for Hope Solo, she's been world class for so long. I'm not so concerned about that. I think it's just having that fortitude and mental awareness to finish out a match that they haven't had this tournament yet. They were well by far the better team against New Zealand. France, we said they didn't finish, and they didn't have that killer instinct to go get one, and Hope was on her game, and then it came all falling down the Colombia match. So, you know, all bets are off at this point. Pia knows this team in the sense that she knows how to manipulate and work the U.S., try to get something special out of her team. Linda said that they're tired, but having those extra rest days at one location, as opposed to the U.S., who now has to fly back from the Amazon, kind of decompress from all the humidity out there. We're currently experiencing a bit of it right now in the northeast of the United States. It's wicked hot here. It's not easy to play sports in that climate. So they're going to have to find some. It's not going to be easy.
No, not at all. And for those that think I'm being uber critical of Kristen Press, believe me, I'm as big a fan of Kristen Press as anyone, but I'm just playing devil's advocate. I thought it was an error, but as JJ said, sometimes when you're in that position, right play, but just wrong execution. But there we go. And obviously, I'm with you. I tweeted out, players miss chances, players miss saves, but class is permanent, form is temporary, and it was just a bad day at the office for Hope Solo. So, Linda, in terms of this match, what does Sweden have to do to try and overcome the favourites for the gold medal?
Sweden are going to have to fight. They are going to have to start really playing like a team and to listen to PS instructions and, you know, use their tactical game to win this, because so far it's kind of been a bit of... There hasn't been any visible tactics. The China game, it seemed like China had lots of ideas on how to find ways towards the goal, and Sweden didn't really have any ideas. So, tactics.
And based on what we saw against Brazil, are you worried that you might see a repeat scoreline like that one?
Yes and no. I mean, Sweden do have the advantage of staying in Brasilia. They have the advantage of having Pia Sundhage. The United States just played in Manaus. That is not easy. But, yeah, I do think the United States are going to win, but I'm hoping that Sweden will give them a run for their money.
JJ, same question for you, mate. What do the US have to do to beat Sweden?
Well, I'm actually going to flip that, Kieran. What Sweden also has to do, they have to pressure the U.S. We saw that in France match, that the French did not allow the U.S. to build up. They forced the long ball, and that's where the U.S. can get a little desperate sometimes. So if Sweden can work those tactics in, can pressure the U.S. into some bad situations, and they're going to work. On the other side, the U.S. just needs to shake that match off and move on, because, as you said, it was a bad day at the office, and rightly so. You know, everyone's going to have one of those days, but it's kind of almost like, to use the term of baseball, in whether, you know, if you strike out to end an inning, you're not taking that out to play defense. You're leaving that in the dugout and you move on. They need to do that. They need to have that short-term memory, get back to what they're good at, get a couple of chances early on, and finish. Because guess what? They didn't finish against Colombia. And we're not talking about the country here, folks, to take a term from Bill Clement. They need to put the ball away early and take the steam out of the game. And they didn't do that against Colombia. And if I feel that they don't do it against Sweden, then they're going to be in for a long afternoon.
Okay, we shall see. We shall see. So I'm going USA over Sweden as well. So based on that, looking at the bracket, if the games go as expected, Linda and I have a semi-final lineup of Brazil against the United States. JJ, you have Australia against the United States. And in the other semi-final, you guys have France against Germany, and I have Canada against Germany. So we'll have to see. The games take place on Friday. Depending on what time zone you're in, it could very well be a late night. I know for Linda and I, it certainly will be. I think it's 3 o'clock in the morning for Brazil against Australia. For Linda, it's 2 o'clock in the morning for myself. Final question from you, for you guys. Who has been the standout player of the tournament so far?
Oh, that is hard. Wow.
I'm going to take Becky. I think Janine Becky has been the standout performer, because, you know, for her and for Canada, they needed someone to step up early, and she took the role and ran with it. So I think in the group stage, I'm going to give it to her.
Yeah, she's, what, 21 years old?
21, 22.
And she's a tied top goal scorer. It's quite incredible.
Yep.
Well, it's a freeway. We've got a clean sweep on that one because Janine Becky was mine as well. I was tempted to go with Marta, but we expected big things from Marta, being that she is the best player in the world and that she is playing for the host nation. Very few expected Canada to top that group. Very few have Canada winning a medal. Janine Becky has been a big player for them, and it's a clean sweep because she's been my player of the first round as well. So, yeah, we shall see if they can continue that when they play in their quarterfinal match. Well, guys, we'll wrap it up there. And listeners, thank you very much for tuning in. JJ, thank you very much. Linda, thank you very much. Pleasure to have you guys on. And, of course, we'll get you back on over the course of the tournament. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, you can do on at WosoZone. Email us by all means on wosozone@gmail.com and listen to the show on iTunes or at audioboom.com/channel/WosoZone. We'll be back after the quarterfinals to have a look ahead to the semifinals. So until then, take care and bye bye.